You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
We have interviewed a number of people on this program who have had multiple sclerosis, and every one of them showed significant improvement using cannabis. A couple were even in wheelchairs and can now walk and even run if they wanted to. Today we're going to talk to a woman in Manitoba, Canada, who started using cannabis for her MS and says she feels better now than she did prior to her diagnosis. And joining us is Joanne Gauthier-Weeb. Joanne, thanks very much for doing this and getting the message out.
Hi, folks.
What was your attitude toward cannabis prior to using it for your MS?
That was the funny thing, because prior to using it, I'd never been totally anti-cannabis, but I was a teacher, and it was important, and a guidance counselor, so it was important for me to, you know, promote the message, stay away from drugs, and drugs are bad, and all this. And so I had really, prior to trying cannabis for a medical reason, I had never used.
Now, you have had... or you still have, what is called secondary progressive MS. Can you explain what that is?
So MS has different stages. You have, at the beginning, when they have, like, they call relapsing remitting, which is you'll have a flare-up and you'll get, you know, really feeling poorly for an indefinite period of time, could be a day or a week or a month, and then it goes away and you're back to normal. But once, in most cases, relapsing remitting becomes secondary progressive. And secondary progressive is where you still get those little attacks of flare-up, but when the attacks go away, you still feel poorly. You don't get the reprieve anymore. So then your health continually goes declines.
When were you diagnosed with this? What were some of your symptoms prior to your diagnosis?
I was diagnosed in 2001, and it was just like, I really thought it was a pinched nerve. I was 40 years old, and I had numbing in my hand for a few months, and I was procrastinating because I thought, wow, it was just a pinched nerve, literally, and I thought I'd be wasting the doctor's time. But then I went to the MS clinic, and yeah, sure enough, it was MS, and they wanted to put me on these drugs that at that time were $30,000 a year, and I didn't want that.
What sort of tests do they undertake to determine whether you have MS?
For me, it was an MRI, and they looked then at the brain scan and could see all the lesions in the brain where there had been brain damage from the myelin had been attacked. And so that's, for me, that's how they determined it. Some people, they do a lumbar puncture.
Do they have any idea, or do you have any idea, what caused those lesions?
Yeah, that's $1 million question. there's, you know, there the people say it's an autoimmune. People say that it's related to or hereditary, and it's funny. In some situations, there are several family members that have it, but nobody really knows what the cause is. I don't know. It could be a vitamin B deficiency. Who knows? Really. Bottom line is, we're stuck with this disease.
Yeah. One of the ironies is that Canada has the highest MS rate in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed, and I'm certainly no scientist or doctor, but one of the reasons that Canada has one of the highest MS rates in the world, as do a number of Scandinavian countries along with us, is our lack of vitamin D. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely agree. If you look at other areas where, like in hot regions or where this, like, in India, and they don't have MS. So I think there is a huge vitamin D deficiency. And I know that I'm looking at my bottle of vitamin D is on the sitting on the counter as we speak. Yeah, I think there's something there. You know, like, why is it where we do miss the sunshine here? And so I think there's a link, but I don't know.
Yeah, they say the farther away you are from the equator, the incidence of MS increase. So there must be a correlation.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
Yeah. Now, you were diagnosed in 2001, and they wanted to put you on these drugs that cost $30,000 a year. Did you go on those drugs initially?
No, and you know, the funny thing is, at the MS clinic, they kind of said, well, if ever you decide to change your mind and want to go on those drugs, then sort of give us a call. But since you don't want to be on those drugs, don't bother us, because that was sort of their idea. We'll see if you want to be on the drugs, but otherwise you're just kind of wasting your time. But no, I never wanted to. I had read up on the drugs, and I knew that they were kind of like a low-dose chemo. And I opted for the natural route. I took mega doses of vitamins for the first 6 or 7 years. And I was lucky because I had very mild progression. And my work environment was a stressful environment. And on hindsight, I know that it kind of only made my illness worse. But in about 2008 is when I was progressed. I got the promotion, to secondary progressive. And again, they kind of said, let's try the injections. But by then I had started doing research on Facebook and found Facebook groups, people with MS, and I started reading up on people that were talking about cannabis. And even someone gave me, I was talking about cannabis oil, and I watched this, I watched these people having conversations, and I asked one guy, I said, you know, where do you learn about cannabis oil? And he told me to watch Run for the Cure. And that's where my journey with cannabis began.
Joanne, these drugs that they wanted you to take, they were just to relieve symptoms, correct?
Oh, yeah, they were supposed to help reduce the number of flare-ups. And I mean, I'm so glad I didn't go on them, because 4 years ago, it had been 10 years since some of these drugs had come out, and the clinical trials revealed that they did not, in fact, reduce the number of flare-ups. So you're just getting poison in your body.
Just reduce the amount of cash in your wallet.
A big, big cash, yeah, because now they're like $60,000, $70,000 a year. Who can afford that?
So, Joanne, tell me about your journey discovering cannabis.
I knew I wanted to, after I saw that Run for the Cure, I knew I wanted to try the oil, and I was convinced that the oil could improve my life. So although my MS was still very mild, I was progressing, and so I started off just with a tincture. I had it's amazing the people that you meet when you kind of start looking, and you meet the most unlikely people that you have, open your eyes, open your doors. And so I met this little old man who was kind of a Rick Simpson. He was trying all these things off on his own in his little farm, and he made the first tincture for me. I tried tincture, and I had relief, like right away. The tincture provided me with almost an instant relief. Then I started also a salve that I would rub on my temples and the back of my neck for my migraines. And again, my migraines went away. So I started using it daily. And once I started using cannabis daily, that's when like the domino effect, things started to really happen. My headaches and migraines went away, and you know, my energy came back, and my leg pain.
How many migraines were you getting?
Probably, I would say, in an average month, I would get about six, between 5 and 6, and they usually lasted 2 to 3 days. So I had a lot. One month, I counted 20 days. So it was bad.
Wow.
And this salve got rid of the...
Yeah. I initially, I was taking the salve because it was to try to help me, you know, like on my, I would rub it on my legs because I have pain in my legs. But I had a bit of a, somebody had said, you know, like you'd read on the internet and people were saying that salve would help with skin marks. And I had sort of old age spots on my temples. So I was rubbing it there, not with the intention to help my migraines, but it's then that it's by coincidence that I noticed, hey, I'm not getting headaches. So then I put two and two together. And really, since my cannabis journey, I don't get migraines anymore.
What did it do for your old age spots?
Well, they're still there, but that's okay. I'm okay with them. Yeah. They're still there. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that is quite remarkable because I don't get migraines, and Corey knows people who do get migraines, and they can be very, very debilitating, and you know, you just want to lock yourself in a dark room.
Totally. I would get to the point where I would vomit. It would, you know, I'd get nauseous. They would be so bad. And I was taking these pills for them, and you know, it's just they affect your body also. So that in itself, if I would have known about this 20 years ago for my migraines, I would have been using this.
Are you off your migraine pills now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That must have been quite one of those moments where a light goes on and you say, ah, it's the salve that I'm putting on my my temples that is relieving my migraines. And that must have been quite a joyous moment for you.
It really, for me, it was an unbelievable, because if you think about 20 days a month that you have pain and all of a sudden those 20 days, that pain is gone. It was huge for me. And even my doctor commented, she says, you're not asking for prescription refills for those anymore. And I said, no, I don't get them. And I mean, something as simple as a salve, really? Yeah, everybody should be having that in their medicine cabinet.
And you continue to use that salve?
I continue to use it. And whenever I have kind of a sore muscle or any aches, I apply the salve.
And how does it work for the sore muscles and aches?
What a magic bag, those little, you know, put them in a microwave and they get, it's like for sore muscles, those little, it's like a bean bag.
Like a bean bag, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I put it in the microwave. What I do is I warm up that sore muscle. So I apply that hot bean bag to my sore muscle and then I apply the salve. Once that muscle is warmed up and the salve just absorbs into the skin, and it's really, yeah, it's very helpful. When I have bad MS pain, it's not going to help, but for arthritis or bites or the salve is wonderful for that, or for my migraines, yeah.
So it sounds like the heat opens up the pores and the salve goes right in.
Yeah.
How is your MS today?
It's funny because I quit teaching 5 years ago because I couldn't function as a teacher anymore. It would take me about 5 hours to plan a 1 hour class. And, but now I can read again. Like, it was something that I had to quit doing because I had brain fog. So I sleep better now. My clarity of thinking has improved. Without cannabis, I don't know what I'd be like today. But I'm fairly certain that if I'd be walking, I'd be walking with a cane. Today, as a person who has secondary progressive MS, I'm still riding my bike. I still go out for long walks. I can drive my car. You can't tell I have MS. I still feel it, but I mean, I think that without cannabis, I know I'm doing very well. So it'd be scary. To think of life without cannabis.
Yeah, you're normal in every respect, except you have a few symptoms of MS. Is that fair, Simon?
I definitely don't have the energy that I would normally have. And there, like, I have my limitations, but I look at other people that were diagnosed at the same time as I am, and they did not take cannabis. One is in a nursing home. She's 55 years old, like I am, but she's in an assisted living facility in a wheelchair. And does not walk. And the other The other one has not been driving for about 7 years and basically is homebound. These are two people that were diagnosed at the same time as I was, or 1 year prior, and the other one was 2 years prior to me. So I don't know if I'm lucky, but whatever I'm doing, I'm still mobile. So I think I'm keeping on doing what I'm doing.
Do they know about the use of cannabis?
Yeah. You know, they the one lady that's in the assisted living facility, she said, well, Joanne, if you can show me someone who started using cannabis and was able to get out of the wheelchair, I'll try it. So I found her someone, and I said, see, look at this person, and here's the name. They're, like, it's not just a, you know, it's not just a friend of a friend, or you don't know. And she said, well, Joanne, it's pot. And so she couldn't get past that. So for her, the negative stigmatism was too strong. I've had people tell me I'm a pothead, but I figure, well, if a pothead is what it takes for me to keep walking and have my bladder function, you know, and my eyes work and my hands work, then I'll be a pothead. Bring it on.
You know, Joanne, so many people are caught up in the stigma of cannabis. I have a friend who has MS. And I've been, of course, you know, yapping nonstop about it all over Facebook, etc. And she wouldn't even entertain the idea of trying it. And then about a year ago, because we kind of drifted apart, I heard through the grapevine that she had started on and how well she was doing, but she didn't want me to know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so whatever. What's your daily routine, re-cannabis?
Usually in the morning, I make greenies, like, thanks to Jack Kungel.
Oh, yes.
He kind of talked to me about greenies, and that was what an eye-opener for me. So I have greenies. I usually take either, depending on the day, I'll take a greenie in the morning of a certain strain, or I do have a daytime cannabis oil.
Joanne, sorry to interrupt. Could you explain to listeners what a greenie is?
A greenie is activated cannabis that is then put in a capsule. That way I can take, instead of, you know, having to smoke a joint or a brownie, you can just take a little capsule. And for people that don't want to always have an edible or don't want, you know, don't have access to oil and don't want to have to smoke, a greenie is, so it's activated cannabis in a capsule.
So, and it's activated how?
I have a decarboxylator, the Nova decarboxylator, but it's through heat. So either through people put it in, like, wrap it up in foil or in a parchment or a turkey bag and in the oven for a certain period of time.
At a low temperature.
At a very low temperature, yeah, to activate your cannabis. Or the Nova decarboxylator, which is fantastic because you just put your cannabis in there, put it on, and after your hour, it's done, and you put it in capsules.
Well, you sound like Martha Stewart.
Yeah, well, we actually just had a class on making greenies last week at one of the little herb shop in Steinbeck. They're very, very helpful for us here, and they let us use their shop for classes. So we have classes in there for people who want to learn.
So you take the greenie. What else do you take?
I also have, like, cannabis oil or edibles, or I vaporize, depending on. I alternate because I don't want my body to get used to one particular way of consuming.
Joanne, what advice would you have to people who are somewhat reluctant to use cannabis?
Well, as you started at the beginning, you said that at 17 years since my diagnosis, I think that I'm healthier now than I was 17 years ago. And, these days I tell everybody about cannabis because it's such a huge thing, but you need to take care of yourself and don't worry about what other people think. Cannabis is not as harmful, and nobody has ever died from cannabis. Go slow, start low, go slow. I encourage anyone with MS. This has so given me my life, my quality of life back, that I encourage people to try it. And if people have questions, reach out to me. I'm on Facebook. Ask me questions. I'll answer.
Joanne, have you heard our interview with Marcel Ganac of Nova Scotia, who had MS?
I missed part of that, but I know Marcel because actually he's the one who told me about Run for the Cure. He's one of the people that also, along with Corey and Marcel and Jack, there's some pioneers that have really helped me, yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating, because when we were talking to him, he was on 5 grams a day, and now he's on 1/50th of a gram, and he uses hemp oil, which is hemp seed oil. Why do I keep saying hemp oil? Hemp seed
oil.
So
I can correct you.
So you correct me. That's right. Yeah. Hemp seed oil, because it's an omega-3, and omega-3 opens up the CB1 and CB2 receptors. Bob Melamed would explain this better than I am. But he's MS-free now, isn't he?
Really?
Yes, it's completely. He shows no signs. They can't find anything.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wasn't able to catch all of that interview, so now I'm going to have to definitely jump into that one. Wow, that's super impressive. I know, like, cannabis is amazing. I've got, since I started, my mom uses cannabis for glaucoma. I've got my brother-in-law who's using cannabis salve for arthritis. My other brother-in-law is using it for diabetes, and they're all, like, benefiting from it, so... It's amazing.
Joanne, are you doing a mixture, or say 50-50 of CBD THC, or are you doing higher CBD than THC or higher THC than CBD? Do you know anything about the percentage of the different cannabinoids that you're taking?
Sort of, but not, because I grow my own, and so I would love to send it out to get tested, and I've been procrastinating on that. I do have a high CBD oil that I use, and I mix that with, for nighttime, I use the high CBD oil and mix it with a higher THC oil. So I have sort of a 1-to-1 ratio for night. And during the day, if I need, I just take the CBD oil without, which is, I think it's like a 9 CBD and about 5 THC.
Thanks. I know that's often a question I will get asked, is, well, do you know exactly what they were taking? So that's great for listeners who want to know.
Yeah. But I know that with MS, I do need THC, and I find it, that's what I hear people with MS say, that the THC seems to help with the tightness of the muscles.
You know, one of the very first MS patients that I helped was a mom who had 3 little kids under the age of 4. They were all kind of back-to-back. And the onset of her MS came on very, very quickly. And I think it was something like 2 months from the time she was first diagnosed to the time she was essentially bed-bound.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And actually living in Ontario. And she did high THC oil. And her husband Skyped me 2 weeks later crying his eyes out, and saying that I had given his wife back to him and the kids, their mother back. She had gone from being bed-bound to up and happening, cooking dinner, taking the kids to the park. And when she went to the doctor, I can't remember the time span, I want to say a few months, all of the lesions on her brain and her spine were gone.
I know someone asked me last week, another MSer asked me if I'd gone for a scan or an MRI lately to see and compare the lesion spots, if they'd changed. And I haven't been since probably 2008. And I mean, in the Canadian, like for me to go in to just ask to compare now, I feel bad taking the spot of somebody who's waiting to get diagnosed. Our MRI machines are in such a huge waiting list. So,
right.
I know that I'm basing myself, I feel good, so that's my scale.
Now, you said your mom uses cannabis for glaucoma. Was it difficult to convince your mom to use cannabis?
No, actually, my mom, and the funny thing is, my mom's had skin cancer a few times, and the first time she had to get it surgically removed. And about 2 years ago, she had this little spot on her leg that the doctor said, the cancer is back, we're going to have to, but it's too big for me to kind of just remove in the office. We're going to get you to go in the hospital and we'll remove it. So when my mom is 84 years old, and when my mom told me this, I said, well, mom, we're going to put oil on that and we're going to try to get rid of it. And so we put cannabis oil directly on it. And within about 2 weeks, it fell off. So when she had to go to the doctor, he said, well, I see nothing. It's gone. So after that, yeah, it wasn't difficult to convince my mom. She takes 3 drops of cannabis oil sort of in multi-chain on sublingually every night.
And what's that done for her glaucoma?
Her optometrist was blown away by her numbers, and she has normal numbers. And the optometrist was so blown away, she said, I want to send you to a specialist in the city. And so she sent my mom to a specialist, and the specialist said, yeah, your numbers are totally normal. So because my mom is a snowbird, she goes to Texas for the winter. Then she only goes to see this doctor every 6 months. Then the doctor said, okay, come back in 6 months. And so now mom is supposed to go back in October, but they're all blown away by her numbers.
And can she see perfectly?
Oh, totally fine. Yeah, she's still driving.
Awesome.
What about your other relatives who take cannabis?
My brother-in-law could not golf, and this may sound trivial, but he lives for golf, and his arthritis in his hands was kind of totally crippling his hands. They were deforming. And so a year ago, I said, you got to try this. And so he came and he tried. He couldn't even shake hands. His hands were so sore. Mm-hmm. And now it's been a year, and he's traveled. He's gone to Italy. He's gone travel. He brings his little jar of salve everywhere he goes. He hasn't been stopped. I'm happy for him, but he won't go without it.
That's all he uses is just the salve?
That's all he's using. And he said he lives in Ontario, and he says, and I live in Manitoba. And he says, Joanne, you're going to have to come out and visit me because I'm running out of salve. Oh. So I said, well, send you the recipe. You can make your own.
That's quite amazing, isn't it? Just that little salve on his hands can make such a difference in a person's life.
I am skeptical when it comes, like, and I'll admit it, I make the salve and I'm skeptical. And then people come and they'll have, you know, bad arthritis or bad back pain or something. And I'll give them a little jar of salve and I'll say, try this. And I myself don't, like I'm telling you, I don't know that it'll help them. And they come back. And they say, oh, my God, that's just magic. I slept my first night in years, or finally my back pain is gone. Like, it's unreal.
How do you make the salve?
Just with coconut oil and shake. And I let it in my slow cooker for, like, it's a long process. But and then I throw in, like, you know, different other herbs that are you know, calendula and plantain, because they're all good for anti-inflammatory. And you let it cook and then you strain it. And that's it's so easy. And yet it works. It's amazing.
Joanne, look where your life has gone as a result of MS. It's fascinating, isn't it?
You know, it's MS has brought me on a whole different journey that, you know, but with this now with cannabis, this is such, like, I'm okay with this because this is an exciting journey, and I'm getting to meet fantastic people and learn about health. And yeah, so MS has brought me on a journey that I'm really thankful in many respects because it's allowed me to learn so much.
MS has taken you to the train station, and cannabis put you on the train.
Oh, and it's allowing me to see the world, yep.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Sometimes in many colors.
That's right. So you feel good today?
Today is a good day, yeah.
Excellent.
So, you know, and with MS, it's like rolling the dice. You never know when you get up. Mornings are often crappy. I'm often very nauseous. But, I remain really thankful that you're right. What cannabis has allowed me to get off of just I was at the station. Now I can get on board and travel.
Joanne, it was wonderful to talk to you. You have a great story, very inspiring. Thank you very much for your time.
It was great meeting you, and thank you very much. Thanks for allowing me to share my story.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Much appreciated.
Have a great day, folks.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And if you have a medical cannabis story that you'd like to tell us about, then send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.